In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's just great to be with you. Top of the morning. So we'd like to start off our conversation this morning by inviting Mary to be with us. So, Mary is the Mother of God, greatest privilege. Mary is the Mother of the Church, proclaimed by Vatican II. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us, proclaimed by Christ from the cross when he talked to John, "Woman, behold thy Son. Son, behold thy Mother." What a great blessing it is to belong to the Blessed Virgin Mary. What a great grace. What a great grace it is. So let's pray the prayer together that Mary loves most. What is the prayer that she loves most? Well, it's the angelic salutation. We call it the Hail Mary. So let's, with a lot of love, a lot of devotion, a lot of trust, let's pray the Hail Mary. I'll ask Mary to be with us today and all the days of our lives. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's lift our gaze in our hearts, in our minds, to our spiritual director. Who is our spiritual director? Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles of the Holy Spirit would be the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. The Holy Spirit is also known as our sanctifier. He who makes us holy. So let's lift our gaze to the Holy Spirit and beg him to give us a lot of light in our intellect. And set our hearts on fire with love for him. As we say. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Jacinta Marto, pray for us. St. Francisco, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. St. Peter Chrysologus, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, it's true, the family that prays together stays together. So, as always, I will pray for all of you when I celebrate my Mass today. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass that I pray. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. First intention will be, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's right, that all of us would be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that we would often pray this short but powerful prayer, I believe. And that is, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray in a special way for all of us, that we would have a real hunger and thirst for learning our Catholic faith. In the words of the psalmist, as the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. When shall I seek the face of God? Out of the depths I cry to you, oh, hear me, O Lord. Psalm 131. Let's pray that we will have a longing, a yearning to get to know God better. Get to know our Catholic faith better. And not to keep our faith to ourselves, but to share our faith with others. That's right, to share our faith with others. One of the best ways to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. May I never tire of repeating this basic catechetical truth that the first teachers of the children are the parents. Not the government, nor politics. Rather, the basic teachers of our faith are the parents, you towards your children. We're called to be their teachers. As well as we priests, we're called to pray, but also to preach, or to teach the Word of God. In season, outside of season. As St. Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the Word of God. My last intention would be, I'd like to pray that those who are dying today would die in the state of grace. We pray in a special way for those who are dying, who will be dying today, and they are possibly in the state of mortal sin, that they would be converted. They would leave the state of mortal sin and return to God's grace. May God have mercy on us and the whole world. So let's enter into our topic today. Just like to tell a couple of stories that are heard recently related to this month in November. I heard a story recently about this man. His name was Martin Marty. And his profession was basically that of snakes. That he pursued snakes, he studied snakes, and he was one of the greatest experts on rattlesnakes. And it's interesting that the studies show that only about 6 people die of snake bites in the country every year, which is very little. This man, Martin Marty, was in his 80s, and he would, great shape, climb the mountains. And it turns out that he died of a snake's bite. And the point of the message is that there's a certain breed of rattlesnakes that don't bite people, even if they're stepped upon. They save their venom for their prey. But he was bitten and he died of a rattlesnake bite. Then there's another story of a man who back in the 70s wrote many books on different ways of running. His last name was Fit. And it's interesting that he was a chain smoker and weighed like 220 pounds, and he was converted and he actually lost tons of pounds and was one of the most fit men maybe in the country. And there in Vermont, he was running the hills of Vermont, and he was about 50, he was in his 50s, early 50s, and he dropped dead of a heart attack. He dropped dead of a heart attack. He'd written quite a few books in the 70s on different ways to run. Different ways to run. Now, why am I telling you those stories of this man who died of a snake bite, and why this man whose last name was Fit, who dropped dead of a heart attack when he was running the hills of Vermont? I'm telling these two stories to point out that we really don't know when we're going to die. Well, this past week, in my formation classes with the adults, Spanish and English, as well as with the teenagers, yesterday, I've been addressing the topic of what are called the last things. In my spiritual exercises program, I spend a whole week meditating upon the last things. And they are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, as well as eternity. I'd like to repeat. The reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and then the reality of eternity. Eternity, which means forever and ever and ever. I believe that these are very serious, very sober topics, but if we meditate upon them, they can easily move us to a deeper conversion of life. And I told you these two stories of mortality, of the man bitten by the snake, and the other one that there was a runner and just dropped dead while he was running. No, I'm not saying this to sound apocalyptic or to cause you useless fears, but we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Yesterday in my confirmation class, I asked the 30 teenagers, would you be ready to die right now? And all of them were kind of shaking their head. No, I don't think I'm ready to die right now, Father. Well, in a very real sense, my friends, we should be ready to die at any moment. We should be ready to die in any moment because we don't know. We know the day, nor the hour, nor the moment, nor the way, nor the manner that God is going to call us. Jesus says he will come like a thief in the night. In the moment that you least expect, Jesus says it will be like in the days of Noah when people eating and drinking and partying. And then the deluge descended upon all, eliminating all on the face of the earth, except Noah and those inside the ark. The second reading for the Office of Readings today is taken from St. Ambrose, and he talks about dying daily. When he's talking about dying daily, he's talking about basically dying to the flesh, dying to the old man, dying to our bad habits, dying to our sinful tendencies, putting to sleep and to death the concupiscence that we have within our nature. It's the second reading. The Office of Reading is taken from St. Ambrose. Very interesting. First reading, you have the death of Judas Maccabees, the valiant soldier who fought against the enemies who are trying to force the people to practice idolatry. Practice idolatry. So I thought I would share those stories related to the last things as we're in the month of November. We're heading toward the end of the church year. The end of the church year is always the last feast day is that of Christ the King. Then we enter into the season of Advent in preparation for Christmas. St. Paul in the Philippians says, Beloved, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. What does that mean? There is in the world, there is a true joy and there is a false joy. I would connotate that false joy to pursuing pleasure, trying to satisfy our hunger for the things of the world, fame, pleasure, power. Many people pursue those things as the ultimate end of their lives. My friends, all of us are really called to be joyful. But as St. Paul points out, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Only in the Lord, only in God can we encounter true joy. Everything else is basically really a lie. And a lady says, a lady puts it this way in her Magnificat: my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he's looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Mary teaches us that true joy can only be found in the Lord. The responsorial psalm from Psalm 112 is, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. My friends, there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The psalm today says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. What that gift is, working within the souls of the just, is it creates within us great humility. Fear of the Lord is very much related to humility. And humility is a keen awareness that all the good that we do comes from God, and all the evil within us comes from our own decisions and actions. The fear of the Lord points out that we, St. Paul says, be careful when you're standing, lest you fall. As Philip Neri said, seeing a bum on the street, there go I, save the grace of God. As St. Therese pointed out, she said she was capable of the worst things in the world. She did not fall because God cleared the path. St. Francis said at the end of his life, he could still be the father of 100 children. All these sayings that I'm articulating to you point out that fear of the Lord is related to a recognition of our own weakness, that we can all fall. We can fall both quickly and deeply, and in any moment. So we should try to walk humbly before the face of the Lord all the days of our life. Walking humbly before the face of the Lord all the days of our lives. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. There go I, save the grace of God. And as true as St. Therese points out, what the worst person in the world has done, we could do it, and even worse, without God's grace. I love the concept, the doctrine of grace. I've given some talks about it in the past, but one concept of prevenient grace means this. Before I decide to posit a good action in my life, whatever it might be, to say a rosary, to help out a poor person, to practice an act of penance, to give alms, to be kind to someone who's not kind to me, to pray 10 minutes more, even though I don't feel like it. That thought comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's called prevenient grace. It's grace that God sends to us. It's grace that God sends to us even though we don't deserve it. It's grace that precedes every action. That's why we turn to Mary, who's known as the full of grace. So Psalm 112, the antiphon is, blessed the man who fears the Lord. Let's try, my friends, also to avoid pride in any form. Last week we celebrated St. Martin of Porres, and one of the reasons why he wanted to wear the religious habit of the Dominicans was that he was doing so much good and working miracles, he did not want to attribute the cures of the people and the healing to himself, but he wanted to attribute it to God. So that when he did good, the people would be recognizing that God was really present there, just working through him as a humble servant. As a humble servant. As a humble servant. How rich is the Word of God? The Gospel for today is taken from St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke presents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's heading toward Jerusalem. He has his face set toward Jerusalem. His face set toward Jerusalem. And lately we've been listening to some of the teachings, the parables of our Lord. And Jesus says today, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. When we talk about friendship, I think we're all called to have friends. We're all called to have friends. And our best friend should be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph should be our three best friends. They should be our three best friends. If we want to establish a good friendship with anyone, we have to spend time. Recently, I was listening to a radio program on Relevant Radio. And this man, whose name was Jose, called from Florida to talk to Patrick Madrid. And this name, Jose, he was seemed to be a very simple person. And his work was Uber Eats. In other words, to develop, to deliver certain foods to the people that were asking for those meals, Uber Eats. They think he would start on the route when he's about 9 o'clock. This Jose said he got up at 4 o'clock and would be spending 3 hours every morning praying. I was thinking, wow, this is a lay person, seemed to be a very simple person, but he starts off his day by praying 3 hours. Then he delivers the Uber Eats. And he says that he will always end up by blessing the people, whether they like it or not. And he says he notices some of the homes have a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in front of it. Well, I'm telling you that is because this Jose obviously is trying to really establish a deep friendship with Christ. It sounds like he already has it. But how many of us are struggling just to get 1 hour in a day? Jose starts off his day by praying 3 hours. And he seemed to be a very simple person. But obviously he's being moved by the Holy Spirit to give the Lord his first fruits by giving the Lord 3 hours at the beginning of his day. That probably humbles us because maybe we're struggling just to get 60 minutes in. But the point of the matter is, if Jesus speaks about friends, Jesus should be our best friend. Jesus should be our best friend in all times, in all places, in all situations. So, why not today make the firm purpose, if we're floundering, if we're not making that holy hour, let's try to be faithful to our holy hour. Hey, maybe you can imitate Jose and give the Lord 3 hours a day. We should start to pray more and more that we want to pray. Psalm 41:1, I love that psalm. As the deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. As the deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Yearning for the Lord our God. Jesus said at the Last Supper, I call you friends. Tonight I'll be going to Pomona to enter into the eighth week, and basically I'll be focusing a lot upon that idea of meditating upon the mysteries of the life of Christ present in the luminous mysteries, and begging that we really get brave for the grace to know Christ, to love Christ, and to follow Christ. In a word, it's to establish a deeper friendship with Christ. Friends want to spend time together. You people have chosen the married life. Before you got married, you wanted to spend a lot of time with your future husband or wife, your fiancé, no doubt. We should be begging for the same yearning in our relationship with God. So Jesus speaks about friends. And then Jesus goes on to say, he who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. Let me tell you an anecdote in my life. Thanks be to God, I was ordained by John Paul II, May 25th, 1986. Seems almost like yesterday, but there are 36 years that have gone by. When I was in Rome, I had a confessor who was in St. Mary Major's. If you've ever been to Rome, you have what are called the major basilicas. The most renowned would be St. Peter, then you have St. John Lateran, St. Paul outside the walls, And then you have St. Mary Major, which is the oldest basilica of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the world. And the custodians of St. Mary Major are the Dominicans. And these Dominican priests would be available for confessions hours a day. So I would go there. My confessor was a priest. His name was Father Horn, H-O-R-N, O-P. And he was an Englishman. And a few days before I was ordained, I told him I'm going to be ordained a priest, and he gave me advice. This was his advice. It was very good advice. He said, you know, when all is said and done at the end of your priestly life, it's not important if you end up by making the stars, you're famous, you're a celebrity. He said, what's really important is at the end of your life that you will have been a faithful servant of the Lord. And that he told me that a couple of days before I was ordained a priest in 86, and I never forgot it. I never forgot it. That's why Jesus says he was trustworthy in very small things, will be trustworthy in big things. And what was the custom for the newly ordained oblate priests, would be to celebrate, in celebrating our first Mass, the intention was that we would be faithful to the Lord, faithful servants of the Lord until the end. Faithful servants of the Lord until the end. That I pray. I pray for me, I pray for you that we would be faithful. In good times as well as bad, in health as well as sickness, in riches as well as poverty until we die. That's the marital commitment. But we can say that ourselves, that we want to be faithful to the Lord. So in a certain sense, we have to pray for the gift of perseverance. Jesus says, those who persevere until the end, those who persevere until the end will be saved. Now let me tell you another story on the importance of faithfulness in small things. Dr. Adrian Rogers tells this story. One occasion there was a president of a very successful company that wanted to hire a new worker for his company, the vice president. So invited this prospect vice president to lunch. So they went down to the cafeteria, and the president gave his friend a tray so that they would be able to choose their meal. So this prospect vice president put his plate on the tray, and then as he's passing along, putting certain food items on his plate, but he took one of those square butters and he hid it underneath his plate. And the president of the company watched this. He saw this. He saw this. What he did was, the prospect, the vice president, hid it underneath his plate so he wouldn't have to pay for it. Now, this square of butter, maybe it's worth 25 cents. But the president of the company decided not to hire him. Not to hire him for that one reason. For that one reason. For that one reason. And it's because he was stealing. It wasn't something big. Was something small. And the head of the company reasoned this way. If this man is a vice president, if he's cutting corners by stealing in this small area, there's a crack in his moral structure. There's a crack. There's a fissure. There's a crack in its moral structure, and there's probably going to be other more serious things that will happen in the future. So he decided that he would not hire him. For that reason, Jesus says, he was faithful. He is faithful in the small matters, will also be faithful and trustworthy in the great ones. And the person that's dishonest in small matters will also be dishonest in big ones. Let's talk a little bit about that. Do we cut corners? Do we cut corners? What do you mean by cutting corners? Well, maybe we're not unfaithful in huge things, but in small areas we are. You people who have been following for the past couple of years, hopefully we're growing in the knowledge of our faith as well as the practice of our faith. A simple example would be this, related to the anecdote I told you about Jose getting up and spending 3 hours in prayer before he goes off to do his work as Uber Eats. He said, okay, I'm going to do my holy hour, but I'll do 55 minutes. It's something small. But you have done the spiritual exercise with me, maybe some of you more than once. You know that we want to be faithful to that hour. In the Ignatian holy hour, we say it's 62 to 63 minutes, not 55 minutes. How easy it, my friends, how easy it is for us to cut corners. I repeat, how easy it is for us to cut corners. So let's give you a few examples, and let's pray that we would be faithful to the Lord. Faithful in small things, that we'll be faithful in larger ones. Take another example. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello? Yes. Okay. So your little daughter picks up the phone and she goes to you and says, you know who it is? It's Latia Lupe. She wants to talk to you. You tell your daughter, tell her I'm not here. So your dear little daughter gets up and says, my mom says she's not here now, so may you call back later. Now, we call that, it's a euphemism. We call that a white lie. Called a white lie. A euphemism. It's a white lie. Some of you speak Spanish, they say, una mentira piadosa. Mentira piadosa means a pious lie. It's not something enormous, but it is. It's a small lie. It's against the truth. Remember once in one of those Charlie Brown comic strips, Charlie's talking to Lucy. Charlie's talking to Lucy. And Charlie says to Lucy, well, Lucy, it's just a white lie. Just a white lie. And Lucy says, I didn't know that lies come in colors. I didn't know that lies come in colors. So we're talking about, my friends, is the gospel. Jesus says the person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. The person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. Let's take another example. You go to work. And you have an hour lunch break. And another half hour break later on during the day. So no one is really supervising your hour lunch break. So this week, your hour lunch break on Monday was 70 minutes. Tuesday it was 75 minutes. Wednesday it was 69 minutes. Thursday it was 80 minutes. In Friday, it was 72 minutes. So in total, that during the week, it's almost as if you had an extra hour. An extra hour break. And you did it in such a way that no one really noticed. But there was someone that did notice. Who was the one that noticed that? Maybe your supervisor didn't notice. Maybe your colleague didn't notice. Maybe your fellow worker didn't notice. No, maybe not one person in the store or the factory or the office noticed, but there was someone that did notice. And that person was God. Because God sees everything. God hears everything. God knows even the most arcane and secret of our intentions. God knows them. Nothing can escape the eyes of God, the mind of God, the heart of God. Everything is an open book to God. Now, I'd like to mention another one. This would be in our spiritual practice, as well as in our sacramental life. When you go to Mass, hopefully go to Mass every Sunday, I hope, because if not, it would be a mortal sin if you miss Mass without a good reason. But most of you even go to daily Mass, who follow me in our perseverance conversation. What I'm going to mention to you is something very small, but very common. Tomorrow, which is Sunday, I'll be celebrating two Masses, one at 10, another one at 2 o'clock. What will happen 10 o'clock from 10 o'clock until about 10:10, those 10 minutes, people will be trickling into the church. In the front door, the lateral door on the right and the left, they can't come through the roof, at least not yet, or from the basement because we don't have a basement. But people are going to be oozing in to the church for the first, I'd say, 10 to 15 minutes. May God bless these people. But it's another example of being unfaithful in something that's small. Thanks be to God that they're not coming for the final blessing. Thanks be to God, no? But our Lord is very attentive. He's very attentive toward the details. And when we make the morning offering every morning, we give ourselves to Jesus through Mary. We can either become like Cain or Abel. Hopefully not Cain Abel. We can either be like Cain or Abel. Cain, we can give the Lord our leftovers. We can give the Lord of our worst. Abel, we can give the Lord our best, giving the Lord the best we have. So one of the ways in which we can try to be faithful and trustworthy in the small as well as the big is by giving ourselves to Jesus through Mary. Today, my friends, is the first Saturday of the month. And it's a day dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. which we want to live out the first Saturday of the month by making our confession, praying the rosary, reading and meditating upon the mysteries of the rosary, at least for a short time. In going to Mass, and receiving communion, with the purpose of offering a communion of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So you go to Mass today, offer your communion reparation. In reparation for the sins against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The sins against her Immaculate Conception, her perpetual virginity, her divine maternity, those who blaspheme by damaging her images, and those who distance children from the Heart of Mary. One of the best ways for us to be faithful in the small as well as the large, to be trustworthy servants of the Lord, would be to renew our love, our consecration, our faithfulness to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.